This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Today on the grill, I am talking to Maduka Chujo, the chief executive of Honda Malaysia. Maduka, thank you for talking to me. Great pleasure chatting. Congratulations, of course, on the launch of the new Civic. It's a really good looking car. I've heard a lot of good things about it. So let's start, if we can, with a picture of the sales landscape. How is demand? How is sales? How is business at this point in time?
Okay, thank you, Kwon-san. So last year, 2021 was a bit challenging year. As you know, due to 3 months lockdown from June to August, our production and sales are completely stopped for 3 months. So while our after sales continue to operate in most of the time, but still, despite all the challenges, our sales was quite good. And then we achieved 53,000 last year, and then maintained 10%, more than 10% market share. And then we retain, finally, the number one passenger vehicle share for non-national segment. So I think despite all the challenges, still we are in good performance.
Yes, and of course, I understand you are going for a sales target of 80,000 units this year, which is quite a bit more ambitious than last year, given, of course, the lockdowns. We've got a few more months till the end of June, which is when the SST exemption ends. Of course, a lot of manufacturers, including yourselves, are launching cars, and demand remains high. I think the real question is, what happens beyond that, Maduka? What do manufacturers like yourselves do to mitigate the impact of the end of the SST exemptions?
I think right after the SST exemption ends, there will be some reduction. But still, I think the market sentiment will gradually improve thanks to the high vaccination rate, and also the overall market sentiment is good. So we are not so much worrying about the decrease even after the June. And then also this year, we are planning to introduce three brand new model, one of which already launched in this January. That's our Civic. And then another two new model will be coming. So I think with this all new three model, and then also the City Hatchback we just launched last December, I think still we are very in a good position.
Of course, I understand you. Perhaps they could be the HRV and the BRV. Those are small B-segment SUVs. That's interesting. What kind of spec can the Malaysian public expect? Do we get the Thai version, the Thai spec version? I mean, just in terms of, you know, trying to get some picture of what consumers can expect, which will, of course, drive sales beyond June.
I want to share more detailed information with you, but sorry, I cannot really disclose all the detail. But what I can ensure you is that our model will be equipped with some next generation advanced technology, such as Honda Connect or Honda Sensing, or even VTEC turbocharged engine. So okay. Please stay tuned. Yeah.
If you can talk to me about two things which are really changing the landscape of the automotive world. The first of all, of course, is maybe the more important one, the transition from internal combustion engines to the EV space. I think, you know, obviously Honda still has a lot of combustion engine-based models. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. The second thing, I think, is a multi-year-long transition from sedans to SUVs. Now, the sedan, of course, I know the Accord has been launched a couple of years now, hasn't done so well. The Civic, not sure how it's going to do in terms of sales. Can you talk about those two things, the transition from EV to EV and the transition away from sedans into SUVs? How are you addressing those two themes?
Yeah, I think I understand that the government is planning to give us more incentive for EV, but still the infrastructure is not really ready. And then thanks to the support from the government for hybrid, and then also the demand from the market for efficient, more efficient vehicle and then cleaner vehicle, is on the rise. So I think for the moment, still we there is a room to expand for hybrid vehicle. So our focus for short term is more for hybrid. This is my answer to your first question.
Yeah, the hybrid is basically the in between from engines to full EV. And of course, hybrids are not meant to be here for the long term. From a policy perspective, and I know Thailand has announced their EV roadmap for the next at least 10 years with three phases, lots of details in terms of exemptions from taxes and subsidies, and of course, investment from the government itself. What can you see from Malaysia in terms of the policy landscape for EVs? What would you like to see?
A bit difficult to answer to your question, but...
Why? Why is it difficult to answer?
I mean, as I told you, our focus for short-term period is more for hybrid. And then, of course, we have plan for EV, but I cannot disclose right now. We are still now discussing, and in the phase of discussing the new policy with the government, including the EV incentive. So I don't want to talk about the detail because it's still under discussion.
Well, I'll put some details on Thailand's EV roadmap, right? They've announced major incentives. There's basically subsidies of as much as 150,000 baht per car, depending on the type and model. There's also EV component exemptions from import duties. And there's also lower customs duties, in fact, half to just 40% from 80% previously. And they are, in fact, of course, aiming for as much as a third of all production to be EVs by the next 10 years. That kind of clarity will drive investment in the Thai automotive industry. In the absence of that policy clarity from Malaysia's government, how does that affect Honda's investment in Malaysia?
Of course, we need to clear policy well in advance because the car development takes a lot of time to develop. So we need sufficient time to invest. So that's why we are now in the midst of discussing the EV policy as well with the government. But if the new policy implemented to next year immediately, we cannot really follow.
What do you mean? If an EV policy is announced by the government last year, what does it mean that you cannot follow? What does that mean?
I mean, the car development, in terms of car development, it takes at least 5 to 6 years. So even if the government announced last year, we cannot really provide a new model meeting with the new requirement from immediately.
So even if the Malaysian government comes out with an EV roadmap as early as next year, foreign manufacturers like yourselves cannot respond in time to localize fast enough. So what does that mean for investment? Does it mean that you would potentially reconsider investing in other ASEAN markets? And I know, of course, Japan, you're pulling back investment and I guess redistributing your capital and investment around the region. Would Thailand potentially be a beneficiary?
No, I mean, we haven't decided anything yet.
So what is the stage of the discussion with the government on the EV roadmap at this point in time? I know, as you say, you've been discussing with them. What have you been discussing? What is the status of the discussions?
I'm sorry, but I don't think it's suitable to share all what we are discussing with the government at this moment.
Where does the thrust lie? Does the thrust lie in infrastructure? Does it lie in battery development? Does it lie in where? I mean, where's the general thrust? I mean, just to understand, because obviously, climate change, Madhukai, is very clearly upon us. As we speak now, there's floods in Kelantan, Terengganu, Queensland, Australia, all over the world. And it's a very strange place to be right now. We do need to transition away from fossil fuel burning vehicles into a cleaner future. And we need to do that as fast as possible. So any kind of clarity from any government and, in fact, manufacturers like yourself who do produce hundreds of thousands of cars, in fact, millions of cars a year, would be beneficial to the environment.
Yes, but I think in order to improve the environmental situation, I think EV is not the only technology that can reduce carbon emission. So even as I told you, our focus for the short term is hybrid. So I think in my point of view, technology should not be limited only one like a EV, but it's up to the manufacturer which technology we will adapt And then what do all the manufacturing have to do is to achieve the target carbon emission reduction. So we should not discuss only on EV itself, but to overall policy we are now discussing with the government.
I'm talking this morning to Madhuka Chujo, the chief executive of Honda Malaysia. We'll come back after this, Madhuka, and talk about the financials, expectations for sales, and in fact, of course, maybe some CapEx investment in your plant in Melaka, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
I'm talking this morning to Madhuka Chujo, the chief executive of Honda Malaysia, and of course, it's all about the automotive industry landscape. Madhuka, your plant in Pagoh, Melaka, has been around for a number of years, and of course, it does, I presume, require some kind of capex and upgrades because it has been tooled to cater for cars of the 20th century, you know, internal combustion engines and what have you. I know that in Japan, you have talked about how, you know, in fact, at headquarters, you've talked about Honda and an all-electric lineup for by 2040, which requires, I guess, retooling of all your production facilities all around the world. What can you tell us about your Pagoh plant in Melaka? What kind of retooling or what kind of reinvestment do you need in Pagoh to cater for this new breed of automotives?
We are still focusing on hybrid cells and production. So we are now invested and then assemble IPU, the hybrid battery, in our plant. And then I think we are the only one in Malaysia to assemble this IPU battery.
Okay, well, the thing is, I understand Pagoh has a production capacity of 100,000 units a year. If you don't hit your 80,000 units a year, this becomes very close to your capacity in terms of you know, what you can and cannot deliver. End of the year, beyond that, you do more than 100, you know, your facility cannot deliver in time. There's got to be some decisions being made in terms of what you can and cannot produce. What can you tell me in terms of investment and production and capacity upgrades, if indeed that is the case?
Yes, but right now our forecast for TIV in Malaysia, this year, we are forecasting around 600,000 units. But even moving forward, the market already saturated. So even after back to 600,000, the total market will remain around the same volume. So at this moment, we are not really expecting that our volume will go over 100,000 very soon, in a very short term.
So are you saying that the Malaysian car market is saturated and it cannot grow anymore?
That is our forecast.
Okay. And of course, in Japan, I understand from the news reports that there's been a radical restructuring in Honda's plant. You've cut Japan domestic auto production to slightly over 800,000 cars a year. That's down by around 40% from even, I think, 20 years ago, right? You are going to have an all-electric future, and that's going to happen by the year 2040. That's only in 20 years' time. That means all your production facilities all around the world have to be retooled extensively. So does this mean, my assumption from your statements is that Malaysia does not get upgraded, whereas other facilities around the world will get that investment? Is that a correct assumption?
That is not correct. And then, but I cannot disclose any future investment at this moment for Malaysia.
What factors will decide? What factors are normally considered when you decide upon investment for any production location within your stable? What factors do you consider?
Such as, of course, the government incentive, very influence. And then not only that, but also like quality of manpower or the cost of manpower, and also the demand itself in that market too.
I am talking this morning to Madhuka Chujo, the chief executive of Honda Malaysia, on the grill this morning. Now, onto the financials, and thanks to our intrepid producers, Madhuka, I've got some of your financials in front of me. And I'm not going to go into the details, but it shows that from the year 2020 to the year 2021, in fact, your top line revenue was actually lower. That's not surprising because of COVID. And then also, we've also seen that profits after tax, though, remained the same. So I presume this profit performance as at the end of March 2021, which is your financial year, have come as a result of cost management, right? But that can only go so far because in order to grow revenues, you need to, you know, to do much more than just reduce costs. And reduce costs ultimately have a downside to them. Mm. So what can you tell me about how you're going to grow revenue if you don't think that you can sell more than 80,000 cars a year and you think that the Malaysian market is saturated?
This year, or already last year, first of all, we introduced our mobile service. So far, customer have to come to our dealer's workshop, but by providing the mobile car service, customer can repair or receive the service at the venue where they want to. So those convenient services, I think by this service, we can increase after sales revenue. And then also in addition to that, we just recently launched Honda Certified Used Car Business. And that also will help us to increase our after sales. So, and then providing more professional service by after service, I think we can increase our revenue.
From the same set of numbers I received from the producers, Maduka, it shows that your margins have been on a downward trend since at least 2017. Round about the low double digit quantum at the end of 2017 to middling single digit margins as at the end of March 2021. It's been going down the last 5 years, and I presume this is because, well, sales A have been thinning. And B, you know, for whatever reason, maybe because of increased costs elsewhere around the value chain. The service revenue that you talk about, I presume they're higher margin, right? But for a car manufacturer to really make material numbers and profits, you need to manufacture cars and you need to sell cars. What is the 10-year or even the middle-term horizon for Malaysia's car industry if it continues along this current trajectory?
Do you mean the volume or...
A few minutes ago, Maduka, you told me that at 600,000 units of total industry volume a year, you say that Malaysia's car industry is saturated, and it has. It has not gone beyond 600,000 for a long, 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 long time. In fact, car sales have been outstripped around the region, notably in Indonesia and in Thailand, where, of course, the markets are bigger and the governments have better policy frameworks. So if I asked you, hand on heart, what does Malaysia's car industry look like in 5 or 10 years? What is your value judgment?
I mean, as I told you, the TIV will be stable around 600,000. But of course, there is some room to increase and not to flat all the time. And then also, the government can give us some support for incentive support for both hybrid as well as petrol still. So I think especially for hybrid, we see more opportunity to expand. And that's why we are continue to invest. So still, even for 5 years and 10 years, this market is very attractive for Honda.
So the Malaysian market is attractive and you say you continue to invest. How much will you be investing?
Told you, I cannot disclose the detailed amount of investment. Sorry.
Okay. Well, thank you, Maduka. That's fantastic. And thank you for your thoughts. I was talking to Maduka Chujo, the chief executive of Honda Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.